The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
All right, UFC fans, UFC Hall of Famer Forrest Griffin is going to be hosting an Instagram Live called Journey to the Octagon at 3 p.m. Eastern, July the 8th, hosted by Hair Club. Forrest will be discussing his personal journey to the Octagon and letting you know about which UFC fighters to keep an eye on. If you didn't know, Forrest is a Hair Club client, which he mentions very often. He's very proud of it. And he'll also give you a quick update on his journey to regaining his hair. If you call yourself a UFC fan, you're not going to miss this live event over on Hair Club's Instagram on July 8th at 3 o'clock Eastern. Go follow Hair Club on Instagram right now so you're going to get notified when he goes live. Visit hairclub.com/journey to skip.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Schedule a free hair and scalp analysis and get a free hair kit and free laser hair growth treatment when you complete your consultation. That is hairclub.com/journey.
You know, I was trying to do my best to not get overwhelmed because there were so many things thrown at me, but I mean, it was an amazing experience and I'm so happy to be part of the UFC now.
Kay Hassan!
Griffin, he is the ultimate fighter.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. No, the burp is perfect. It's how we start.
Sorry, Jimmy.
We have strawweight Kay Hansen, and we also have Forrest Griffin on today, which would be nice because they give away that he has the Forrest Griffin Community Award, which was Dustin Poirier, I believe, received that this weekend. There's a lot to talk about, the fights, our picks. Kay Hansen's UFC debut.
Kay Hansen with the arm lock. I loved it. I loved it, Jimmy. It reminded me of Dustin Hazelnut. You remember him? Hazelnut. You don't remember him, do you?
No. What year?
Oh shit, man. This has to be like 2006.
Okay.
Maybe 2005. He did a fucking flying arm lock on Josh Berkman. Not a something very similar. Guys, look up Dustin Hazelnut. Fuck. Listen, it's not like it's been a while. It's been a decade.
Look up
Dustin Hazel something versus Carol Parisian versus who the hell did I just say?
Ngannou?
Josh Berkman. No, fuck off. Josh Berkman.
Now, they said she's in the waiting room, so I guess...
Let's do it.
It's so nice to have a guest be early. I've never had that. We don't... Usually, fighters are not early, so thank you for joining us.
Yeah, of course. Happy to be here.
Where are you now, Kay?
I'm at my house back in Southern California, so it's nice to be home.
Did you drive to Vegas?
No, I flew. So it was only like a 45-minute flight. I kind of wish I would have drove because I would have just drove home right after the fight and came home because like I'm 20 in Vegas. So it's like, what am I going to do anyways? So.
That's so funny. Just like, what's his name? Chase is 20, isn't he?
Yeah, Chase Hooper. He's the only one who's younger than me in the UFC. Yeah.
That's so funny. You guys could have like went to high school together or something.
Yeah, I think I'm like a month older than him. Or something like that. Oh, wow.
Now, do you go out in Vegas? Sorry, Matt. You say you're 20, you can't go out. But do they check ID just to walk into a casino or just to go out and have a beer?
I honestly haven't really tried too much, to be honest. I've only been to Vegas a couple times. It's like not my favorite place, especially because I'm under 21. But like I'm not a big like partier or drinker anyway. So it's not like my scene, I would say.
Good. Good for you. Well, that's why you're snatching limbs. What a beautiful. Hey, congratulations. What a beautiful.
Thank you.
I seen on the social media, even Ronda Rousey was giving you a shout.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah, that was nuts. Megan actually told me that, and I was like, whoa.
How did you get started in the martial arts? What was your first discipline, and how old were you?
I started everything at once, because when I started, I was like, okay, I want to fight. Like, so I started everything at one point. I was 16 when I started. It was like a month after my 16th birthday, I think I started. And I was all in. I was like, all right, I want to be the UFC champion one day. So I just kind of dove head in.
Do you remember the first fight you seen that make you, what got you?
It was Ronda and Bechkohea. It was like August 12th, I believe. My birthday is August 14th. So it was a couple of days before my birthday. And I remember I like saw the lead up to that. And I was like, dang, like I want to watch that fight. And that's the first fight I ever actually wanted to watch. Like I've watched a lot, but I was always like, eh. But when I like watched that fight, I remember being like, all right, I gotta try this out.
Now, did you fight growing up at all? Like, did you have
older
brothers?
No, I'm not confrontational at all. I used to be like drug to like UFC fight night events with my family. And I used to hate it. And like, I used to be like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. And then like, once I like saw like that fight, I was like, all right, now I'm a fan of everything. And I'm like all in.
So your family's into it? They had fight nights and stuff?
Like when I was younger, yeah. Like I remember going and watching like GSP and Chuck Liddell and Tito and like having like big parties. Like not my family, but we'd go to like a fight night party, you know? And then yeah. I would like go and play with the kids there and just hear a bunch of screaming and not know what was really going on.
What do your parents think about your career choice here?
They were supportive from the beginning. So So it's like all in from everyone. So it's been nice.
And this was your, both of you guys, this was your debut fight in the UFC. And I guess that's good because whatever jitters she had, you had invited. So it might be like, it kind of cancels out any advantage or disadvantage either one of you would have had.
Yeah. It was cool because like, and I knew of her cause we both fought in Invicta. So she was the atomweight champ. So like I knew going in, it was going to be a tough fight cause she has experience, you know, she's been 5 rounds a few times, like, so I mean I knew it was going to be a tough fight, but I mean I guess it was kind of cool that it was both our UFC debuts. We kind of got to like put Invicta, you know, like on that little platform for the fight, so it was cool.
And go ahead, Matt.
No, I was just gonna say, how did this, you said you took this fight on was it short notice?
Yeah, so on Sunday afternoon Mick Maynard like text me, and then like 10 minutes later he called me and was like, hey, like, we want to offer you this fight. It's on Saturday, and then we want to offer you, like, a promotional contract. So, like, Saturday around, like, 3, I signed everything. Sunday at 3, I, like, signed everything. And then on Monday, I was getting all my medicals. And then Tuesday morning, I'm on a flight to Vegas.
were you training already for something?
I mean, during, like, the whole quarantine thing, for a good portion of it, all of our gyms were closed, so I wasn't really doing much. Like, I was quarantined with my boyfriend, who's a brown belt, so, like, we'd roll every once in a while, but, like, it's not the same as, like, a class, you know? So I, like, if I'm being honest, like, I've only been doing jiu-jitsu for, like, about 3 weeks to a month now. And then before that, I hadn't, like, you know, like, actually done, like, wrestling classes or classes since, like, probably – I had a fight March 6th, a little blooper there, but I had a fight March 6th. So I, that was the last time I like had a camp and like actually trained for a fight.
So now, do you think that she knew how long you were doing jujitsu, or was she not aware of that?
I mean, I think she knows. I mean, we both know who like each other are. So like, I'm sure she knew like I wanted to get it to the ground. That's kind of like my bread and butter. And that's not like a secret, especially at this point, like that's kind of what I do. I knew, and she's primarily a striker. So like, I knew it was kind of be like that classic, like grappler versus striker and challenge. And like, I knew she was experienced. So I also knew it wasn't just going to be like an easy, like just shoot in and get your takedown kind of deal, you know?
Because no matter how good somebody is on the ground, you got to get them there.
Exactly.
I always love when you see people who are just have amazing takedown defense. And it's like you look at Mickey Gall against Mike Perry, and Mickey is, I think, a much stronger fighter on the ground. But Perry was amazing. His defense was great, and Mickey just couldn't get it going. And then the times they were on the ground, Mike was in a dominant position. So even if you're great on the ground, you still got to get somebody there and get into a dominant position.
Especially when like they know like that's what you want to do, and it's like not a secret. It makes it even harder.
Did you have any? It didn't seem like you had any jitters, and there was no crowd there. How did it feel with no crowd, and how did it feel actually fighting you in the UFC? I mean,
It was crazy because like I honestly like I don't know if I've had time to process any of it. So I think that might be what it was. Like it all happened so fast. And then between like medicals and weight cut and everything, I was like, boom, like I'm fighting. You know what I mean? And like, honestly, I've always been so nervous before every fight. And like, this was the one fight I was in. I don't know if that's just because, like I said, everything was going so fast and happening so fast. Or on the flip side, it's kind of like, I feel like when I was like in Invicta, it was always like, okay, this could be the fight to get me to the UFC. So this fight is important. Like it could get me there, you know, like, but now that I'm like, I'm here, it's like, okay, like I'm where I want to be. Now I just need to go out there and perform. So I'm not sure. I'll have to wait till like my next fight to see like if it's like because everything is going so fast or it's because like I finally feel like I'm where I want to be. And now it's taking that next step.
It's good that you actually went to that third round because you got some time to work in there. And you dealt with some adversity. I'll tell you, Frey was – she was no lemon, man. She was
– That
was a competitive bout up until that beautiful arm lock.
For sure. And, like, I kind of have, like, a tendency, like, in a lot of my past fights because I am young and I am, like, newer to the sport, you know. So, like, I'm very aggressive. And, like, in the past, I have, like, been overly aggressive and, like, kind of, like, got myself into not as good of situations. But I was just trying to really take that first round to just kind of, like, even if I lost it, you know what I mean, to kind of, like, feel around, like, feel my feet. Like I said, she knows I'm going to try. From the second, like, the bell rang, her corner was like, she's trying to set up her shots. So I was like, okay, like, I can't shoot right now. Like, so I was kind of taking that first round to, like, you know, try to, like, be more of a professional, you know, take that next step and be smarter and, you know, look for my openings. And then, you know, in the second round, I got her to the ground. And third round, it was good. So.
And you said your boyfriend's a brown belt. So do you find that being a fighter, is it where you, like, if you're dating somebody, you prefer that they are in that world as well because they kind of understand it more? Or do men outside that world look at that like they feel threatened by it? Or how do they?
I mean, I love it because, you know, we're both in the gym all the time and there's no, like, there's no like, oh my God, like you're spending too much time at the gym or like, give me more attention. You know what I mean? It's like, we both kind of understand like, okay, like, cause I don't know, you guys know ADCC, right? He was in ADCC last year. So like when he was in the gym preparing for that, like, you know, we just kind of understand it's the same thing when I'm preparing for a fight, when he's preparing for a competition, it's like, we get it. So it's never like, I feel like if you're dating someone outside of the sport or something, it could be like, you're always paying attention to that and not me versus like where we kind of understand it.
Yeah. You want someone who understands your schedule and what it entails and the activities that you don't want to have to explain what you're doing every single time you're going for a fight. You don't need that distraction.
On the flip side though, I don't want to be a negative nitty.
Yeah.
But Kay, I mean, you guys, how long have you been dating for?
A little over a year, but we've known each other for like 3.
Okay.
He cornered me before we got together. And then he usually corners me, but he actually had a tournament this weekend, so he couldn't make it.
There might be a time you want to escape from your better half or not so better half. You're like, all right, I got to go to the gym. Ah, shit, he's there too. And you're not going to have any way to, you know.
I mean, right now, we don't live. He lives in San Diego right now, and I live in Orange County. Oh. So, like, we're kind of like, we're not, like, in each other's face right now anyway. Yeah. So, but I mean, I'm excited for him to, like, get to experience all this with me the next time around.
And you also, and this is interesting too, there was a guy or someone, a woman, I don't know, a better, wagered like 37 grand that you win. And they always, and he won 57. Now, was he a fan before this, or was there something about the matchup or the odds?
So I was like on my way home last night or yesterday, and I was at the airport with my coach. And then all of a sudden this guy's like, Kit Hansen. And I turn around and I'm like, who is this? Like, and he's like, I'm the guy who bet the $37,000. And he was like, no way. And he like pulled out his like little stub and he showed me. And he said he's been following my fights since Invicta. So then he placed the bet. So he did know who I was. So it wasn't just like a random bet on my name. So that's kind of cool. But still, I was like, my first question was like, why? Like, that is so much money. Like, I remember I saw that like 45 minutes before I was about to fight. And like, I saw it because like I went on Twitter and Ariel Helwani like retweeted and put like, oh my. And I was like, dang. Like, and then someone asked me afterwards, they were like, did you feel pressured? And I was like, no, like, you do what you want with your money. I'm not responsible for that. Like, that's on you. But it's so crazy.
Yeah, I always wonder that too. If an athlete or a team, especially an athlete, because it's only you. It's like a team, at least you, the kicker fucked up. But if it's just you and somebody loses money, do you feel? But you're right. Hey, they people
I'm
make
like, man, I would not do that with my money. So, I mean.
Yo, I remember an old, old boxing match was Hitman Hearns. Jimmy, you'll remember this.
Oh,
versus
sure.
Versus, I think, Sugar Ray Leonard.
Hagler-Hearns?
It was Hagler-Hearns. It was one of them.
Three-round.
But it was one of those. Remember, there was a documentary, and Hearns was sitting there. Like, he was saying, he was very upset that people, like, they would go to him and be like, yo, I bet my house. Like, I literally, they bet all everything they had on him. And he's just like, and he ended up getting knocked out.
It's not my fault. Yeah.
He ended up getting knocked out. It's like, holy shit.
That's, yeah. I couldn't believe it. I was like, $37,000, like. That's ridiculous.
Hey, what did you, before you fought, because I guess you started training like 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. What was it that you thought you'd be doing? Like, when you looked forward, what did you think? All right, this is what I'll be doing. What did you think you'd be doing?
Out of homework? Maybe Jimmy's before 16.
I mean, I wanted to be the UFC champion from the second I watched Ronda fight. So, like, that's literally, like, when I went in. So, my first gym I trained at was CSW. I trained there for a year and a half. Now I'm at 10th Planet. But I walked in there and I was just like, I want to be the UFC champion. Like, how do I do it? And I just kind of dove right in.
Is that with Eric Paulson?
Yeah, that's with Eric Paulson. He's where I started. Yeah, Paulson, I got my purple belt there. Oh, and then great. I went to 10th Planet. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, you're in good hands. I mean, that's an old school dude right there, Eric Paulson.
Yeah, for sure. And then when I was there, like Shayna and Jessamine were there too. So it was kind of cool, like, getting to see them. You know what I mean? As like a 16-year-old girl, like, oh shoot, like, you know, they're like in the UFC. So it was cool.
And you're in a very, very good division. You know, I mean, that's I'm in really the tough
most
division.
Stacked female division there is for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I put that up against almost any division in the UFC. I mean, when, Yin Jacek is four. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like the fourth best. Rose and Jessica are fighting again. Their rematches was at July 11th, I think. So this is some amazing,
for sure,
amazing talent in that division. So it looks it's congratulations on a great fight.
Thank you.
And on short notice, and did that almost work to your advantage? Like, you had no pressure, no time to think
about
it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's not new to take short notice fights for me. Like, with Invicta, that's how I got like my name out there. And that's kind of how I got a lot of those opportunities. Like, I've taken fights on 9 days notice, never on six though. I will say this is a new record, but I mean, it's fitting to be my UFC debut for that, because I've kind of just made myself available for these kind of things. And I try to hop on any opportunity I can get.
How much more exciting is all this MMA stuff compared to softball?
Oh my God.
I heard you play softball. I mean, that's a big.
Yeah. And like, the crazy thing is, like, you start talking about college when you're like 12, when it comes to softball, like, you got college scouts watching you, calling you at 12 or 13. And it's like so much pressure to put on like a child, you know? And it's like not fun, 'cause you're like, okay, now I got to think about going to college at 12. And like, I don't know. It's so crazy. Like, the difference. I remember, like, I was playing softball and I was like all in softball. And then all of a sudden I found fighting and I was like, pfft. Like, I threw the like last 10 years I'd worked on softball out the door for MMA. I was like, no way.
Well, you're doing something right.
Yeah. And congratulations.
Thank you.
20 years old. You got time on your side. Yeah. And I can't wait to see you fight again. It was so entertaining.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Great talking to you, Kay. And I'm sure we'll see you again soon.
I hope so. Thank you.
All right, folks, on July 8th at 3 o'clock Eastern time, UFC great Forrest Griffin is going to be hosting Journey to the Octagon, a live event on Hair Club's Instagram page. You can chat with Forrest about his UFC journey, up-and-coming fighters, and even his journey with Hair Club to regain his hair. Don't miss this live event with Forrest on Hair Club's Instagram at 3 o'clock Eastern, July the 8th. Go follow Hair Club on Instagram right now so you'll get the notification when he goes live. Visit hairclub.com/journey to schedule a free hair and scalp analysis and get a free hair kit and free laser growth treatment when you complete your consultation. That is hairclub.com/journey.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
So soon we got Forrest Griffin calling in.
Yes.
But Jimmy, let me tell you. So we have Adam, who's one of the guys who works on the show. He's like, what is he, a producer or one of those things?
I don't know what exactly.
I don't know, but I think he's above the producers.
I think so.
You know, because he looks over what Antonio and those guys are doing.
He's the guy who they blame whenever there's something wrong.
He sure is. So I guess he's high up.
Adam says no.
But listen, this is the thing with Adam. Nice guy. He's been texting me and you about getting this list. He gave us a list. You know what I'm talking about. Questions.
I do, yeah.
And the list of questions, they're going to put graphics to it and work with the social media for this show, Jimmy. You know what I'm talking about?
Good news. Good news.
Yes, that's good news.
Great news.
The bad news.
Bad news.
Listen, it's some of these questions. Because look. Yeah. This is the thing. It's called the UFC Unfiltered 10-Day Challenge. That's what it's called. So then they ask all these questions of us, and we're going to give the answers, and then they're going to put some graphics to it. It sounds great. And listen, you know I want to do anything for the show. I want to promote this show.
Sure you do.
Because I enjoy doing it. I enjoy hanging out with my Jimmy. I enjoy the Unfiltered fans. They're so nice. But it's a little weird for me.
Why is it weird?
Can I tell you why, Jimmy? Because when they ask you questions like favorite best UFC fight,
sure,
favorite best UFC knockout, favorite best submission, favorite best coaching moment, favorite use of BJJ, you see where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
This is the thing. I'm not going to answer. I cannot give an answer. I don't want to make it all about me. Because I used to, if you don't know, Jimmy, well, first of all, I know you know.
I do know.
It's silly because you were at the Hall of Fame celebration with me.
I was.
I am a Hall of Famer. I fought in the UFC.
That's right.
I'm a former champion. But the thing is this. When I read these questions, I'm, you know, automatically think of all my time.
Of course.
Name one, Jimmy. Name one out of all these favorite. Ask me anything, Jimmy. Anything.
Favorite drive to the UFC facility.
Jimmy, ask me any other questions, like specifically the first four.
I would like to know this. Do you have a favorite?
Don't be silly. Well, I mean, ask me anything, Jimmy. Just ask me anything because these questions, I don't want to bring it back to myself.
No, but you never I mean, that's the problem.
But I lived it, Jimmy. I fucking lived it.
Okay.
It's not my favorite eating some chicken wings on the couch watching. Oh, that's my right. Know what my favorite? Give me a favorite moment of anything. Jimmy. Jimmy, any favorite? Ask me any favorite.
The favorite?
Ask me any favorite in the UFC. Favorite best moment. I mean, I don't want to make it about myself. Ask me anything.
What was your favorite arena to relax in? No?
I want you to ask me a moment on here. And I'm not going to try to ask me one of the first five questions they asked me right there, Jimmy.
Let me see. Where's the questions, Matt? Let me see.
Jimmy, favorite, best UFC fight? That's what I won the title. Where's Joe St. Pierre?
Upset. Let me ask you a question. What was your favorite rematch?
My Shawnee Carter fight. I don't want to make it about myself. But these are my – that's what I think about. That's what – I mean, because it comes back to me, and I lived it. Go ahead. I mean, ask me any other one. My favorite knockout? Frank Trigg. Duh. Hold on. Duh. Frank Trigg. You might say GSP, but he actually tapped.
Did he?
He tapped. He said uncle. But he got me back in the rematch. I know it, buddy. Every time somebody brings it up, they're like, guys, he needs you in the ribs. I'm like, I know. I felt it. But.
Yep.
But
it hurt. Those body shots hurt more than people think. Don't
nah,
they?
I didn't feel shit. The elbow in my fucking nose before that, I felt though.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, you know, it happens. My, you know, strangest UFC moment. I don't know, Jimmy. Jimmy, favorite UFC unfiltered moment. How about every time I see my little Jimmy Bird's face?
I was going to say every time. Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. I was going to say.
What were you favorite? Say? What is your favorite moment? I mean, I don't, Jimmy.
All right, have a great weekend.
That's your favorite. Your favorite moment is when it's over, Jimmy?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, listen, we'll get back. Come back in a fight. I'm just saying, I know, did you get all these back to them?
I think I did. I believe I did.
Ooh, best Sarah singing moment.
I don't remember what I said. Did you? I truly don't. No.
I could run off a few. I'll start with Falling In and Out of Love, and then I'll go into
No.
That's not the best one. Because that's not mine. That's like, it's like me singing a cover. But an original would be like a Barboza song, which is pretty much a fan favorite of our people. There he is.
Hey, Forrest.
Forrest, do you see us?
Yeah, I see your beautiful face.
Oh, how you doing, man?
With your man beard.
You like Forrest? Hey,
I love it.
You haven't seen me in a hot minute. Do you love it or no?
No, I like it. I like it, man.
Thank you, Forrest. What were you thinking?
It took me a while to get used to. I didn't like it at first.
You thought Jimmy's co-host was Jason Statham today? Is that what you thought?
Ah, there you go. Hey, hey.
Oh.
I mean, I don't want to make fat jokes, but you know.
How could you? How could you, you asshole? I'm fucking in good shape.
You're beautiful. You're beautiful.
Look at this, motherfucker.
No, I see you're beautiful.
Start this shit right, Griffin. Start it right. I'm not fucking Stephen Bonner. Me and you are
not
FFFF. We're acquaintances. All right, anyway.
You look like a bulked up Jason Statham, for sure. He's a skinny dude like this.
See, Jimmy. That's what
a better muscled Jason Statham.
That's what I'm definitely, sorry. I didn't mean to get salty.
And the other thing is you're the same height as him. So if he needs a stunt double, boom, you're in.
Is he a short person?
Oh yeah, he's not tall.
Well, I guarantee he's taller than me. All right, let's get back on track. Forrest, first of all, happy to see you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, you know? Is this the show? We're
chatting.
Dude, we've been on the show. This is how we start. There's no one. Trust me. This is about, that's how we start the show. I want to know what you've been up to. Did you get a quarantine haircut or are you just growing it out?
No. Well, yeah, I didn't get any haircuts, partly because of the quarantine. And then, I got the whole hair club thing going. So I get free haircuts from them. They just opened back up. So I got to go in the hair club. They've just been sending me my product. But I got to go in, get the haircut. But I'm actually like, hey, I'm actually enjoying it. I look like I'm from the 70s. My mom loves it.
It looks really good. The hair looks really, it looks good. And I guess we don't see you for a while. We notice the difference. If I saw you every day, I wouldn't notice. But you don't see someone for 4 months, you notice.
Oh, and I froze up.
Oh.
Yeah, well, I know. You've been missing me. And here I am.
Let me ask you now. You're in Vegas. What did you think of the – we have to talk about the Poirier-Dan Hooker fight, which we have not spoken about yet. I mean, one of the best – I mean, Gaethje Ferguson is pretty goddamn good too, but that's one of the best fights I've ever seen.
This was better because it was a little more even, you know. And the fifth round, going into the fifth round of this fight, it was even, you know. Going into the last rounds of the Gaethje-Ferguson fight, you felt like the momentum was all in Gaethje's behalf, right?
Yeah.
So this fight, it was still like going into the final, you're like, wow, this is so close, you know?
It looked like 2-2, right? I thought that Hooker had the first two. Yeah.
And I'm just going by the strike count, you know?
It might have came down to that last round. I remember that the Felder-Hooker fight was amazing also.
Incredible.
It was.
You know, another close one.
Oh, really? And then who was it that Hooker lost to and finally with the body shot? Barbosa? Was it Edson Barbosa?
I think it was Barbosa.
That was just a brutal fight. It started so good, and then towards the end, you're like, oh, my goodness, Dan Hooker. So you knew Poirier and Hooker, just based on, you know, statistics and the fights they've had, was going to be an amazing fight. And I have that right now as my fight of the year.
I didn't realize how much bigger.
Maybe I'm biased towards the last thing I see, you know? Get that takedown, steal the round at the end, right?
I didn't realize how much bigger Hooker was. Like, until I saw them in the cage together, I'm like, fuck, he's a bigger guy than I thought he was.
Well, he's a skinny dude, but it's those knees, right? So he's got the long arms and the ratio of that hip to knee. He just brings that knee up with no tell effortlessly. You know, you're watching the highlight reels, you see it. Poirier said that was the only shot that hurt him, was actually the knee. And then I'm thinking, so I didn't know he was hurt. I'm thinking, Poirier, what are you sitting there on the fence for? Just covering up. You're going to get off the fence. You know, he was dazed. So, yeah.
What about, like, Dustin's endurance? It never looks like his arms get heavy. He comes back with, like, an 8-punch combination. Like, he just comes in with these hooks and just keeps firing away. And, like, he's in the later rounds.
Say that. I thought, in the first two rounds, I thought, wow, he's blown his load. He was throwing and missing. He was throwing hammers, you know? And I'm like, what are you doing, bro? And then I feel like because his arms did fatigue, he cleaned it up, took some of the power out, just started trying to touch and use more speed at the end. But he was throwing hammers in the beginning of the fight. And even when they landed, Hooker would come forward. And there's a great sequence on the, you know, Instagram or whatever for the YouTube where Poirier catches Hook with two big shots. And then Hooker says, okay, and comes back with four of his own. And you're like, oh, my goodness, that he didn't take a step back. That was crazy.
There was a lot of beautiful body kicks in this fight, too. Yes. Really, really beautiful body kicks. But neither one of these guys, obviously they are affected by it, but visibly you couldn't tell that either one of them felt that they were getting kicked.
We were just talking about that, you know. Like the level of fatigue, you know, is there a way to monitor that fatigue? Everybody knows in a 5-round fight, body shots start slowing you down, you know, but like how much? And once you get clipped to the body, it's not like your chin where it kind of comes back, you know, oh, okay, it can still be tender, you know?
There's also, I'm sure you've dealt with guys like this, that could take a bat to the head and you hit them to the body. Well, it's a whole other story.
Think about Hooker's two losses. He didn't technically ever go out, you know? Yeah. He lost the decision, and, you know, finally it was a stoppage because he couldn't, like, physically walk.
Now, wait, Forrest, let me ask you, because you're so busy with the, you know,
with five fights in a row here out in Vegas, so.
Yeah, no, but, like, what my thing is, you're so knowledgeable, former tough champion, former UFC champion. Are you just behind a desk doing all this shit? Do you have any interest in coaching? And you have such a high fight IQ. I mean, are you helping people out? What are you doing?
So I work for the UFC, right? So it would be odd of me to technically coach against. One thing I love doing is if fighters reach out to me after their fight, I love walking through and say, hey, what were you thinking here? Why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? And then from there, I'll say, well, here's what I think you maybe could have done differently. But it's like with Poirier. I'm like, what are you doing on the fence? Oh, you're dazed. I didn't know that. I try to run a practice every week or every other week at Syndicate. But, you know, quarantine's crushed that. So, you know, I kind of try to think like more grand scale. Like, if this is the way you train, what are the physical qualities you need? Like how effective are those body kicks? Like, this is crazy statistic here, but 78% of strikes in the UFC over the past 3 years have been aimed at the head. That's crazy, right? 78% targeted in the head. granted, that's your highest source, but you get guys like Jones to change the game up with that calf kick or with the kick to the knee, or Gaethje. You think about Gaethje's power, he's setting that up with that powerful kick, you know? So when he gets a knockout, it's like I was just watching the Poirier fight back to kind of see what I was in for. Poirier was in trouble with the leg kicks. It wasn't the punches that were hurting Poirier. It was the leg kicks of Gaethje. And he gets you so concerned about the legs that that's when he comes up and gets those, you know, knockouts.
Do you think that's the curse of the highlight reel? Like the fact that guys are going for the head because it looks so good.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's what I see in the highlights on Instagram when I scroll through or on YouTube, Twitter, whatever, you know?
Yeah, the amazing knockouts, the amazing headshots.
Yeah, but you know, go back 3-4 minutes and see that setup work. You know, how were they getting there? What were they doing to kind of make their opponent close that distance, to frustrate them, to set it up, you know, et cetera.
I think my favorite thing to see is when someone gets stopped with leg kicks. Maybe because you don't see it very often.
Yeah.
But when you see a guy finally giving in,
and not just
switching
just
stances, but being buckled. Like when a guy is buckled by leg kicks, you're like that. I mean, for the guy to show that, I mean, he's really got to be hurt for him to show that, to be buckled.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's just a little nerve that runs down the, I forget what the name of it is, on your outside of your leg, and it just starts. It just gives you drop foot temporarily. So there's not much you can do about that. You know, it's like when you get that Charlie horse. They used to teach the tie kick to that part of the thigh. That's like the Charlie horse. It's just like a neurological thing. You can't overcome it for 10 or 15 seconds. Not that different than a liver shot, where it's like, I don't care how tough you are. You get the right liver shot, your body's going to stop for about 10 seconds, you know?
And watching this fight with Poirier, I was just thinking, too, that it's just how goddamn good Khabib is. The fact that when you look at the people he has beaten in the UFC, besides Conor, obviously, you know, Michael Johnson and what he did to Dustin Poirier. I mean, I was thinking that more than even how great Poirier is how good Khabib is. And
but this is why it's matchups, right? I think Gaethje has a good shot because of his wrestling against Khabib, because he's such a good counter wrestler. In that little clip of him and what's his name, this Usman, getting crazy on each other to the body, what was he doing? He was immediately popping up against a high-level 170-pound wrestler in that clip. That's what I took out of that. The other thing I'll tell you is, look, Poirier got taken down 3 times by Dan Hooker. Dan Hooker ain't no wrestler. Granted, he got taken down because he wasn't expecting those takedowns, and he was a little too comfortable with that guillotine because he's had success with chokes before. But, you know, let's just take that like as a little bit of, you know, kind of to balance that, right?
Yeah, do you think that Gaethje, because again, Gaethje's leg kicks are so are such a great weapon. Does that hurt Khabib at all? Does that help him against Khabib, or do you think that keeps him like less vulnerable, you know, to a takedown?
And I'll throw this back to Matt. I do not see as many takedowns off leg kicks as we used to. That used to be the big thing about throwing kicks, is you're opening yourself up for the takedown. I think guys throw the kicks with no tell, or behind hands, or even when you throw them naked with as much power as Gaethje does, it's hard to take that kick and shoot off of it. So that was like real common back in my day, you know, back in the day. But you don't see it as much. And I don't know why, Matt. Matt, why don't you see as many takedowns off leg kicks?
Well, I think one, guy's probably set it up better. Guys got, you know, they
hide it with the timing.
And the way Justin throws it, it's and also the calf, the calf kick, that came after my time. So, I mean, that's a lot safer, I'm going to say, than anything above the waist, obviously.
You got to close that distance, right? It's such, you're like, oh, okay,
And my thing is, and I've been pointing this out from, I've said this before, Justin Gaethje fought Tony Ferguson. I always thought that Gaethje versus Khabib is the more intriguing fight than even Ferguson versus Khabib. Because of the fact of, can he keep him down? Like you said, in that one clip, even though it was 20 seconds, of the champ Usman sparring together, him and Gaethje. He did get up. He was down. He got up, and they were
striking. Immediately. Gaethje always, Poirier took dust. I mean, he gets taken down, but he's immediately just like an old school wrestling, you know, which is something guys lose. Like, just get up, turn your back, like panic, get up, though, like a wrestling scramble, you know?
And you look at
and some if you've got the conditioning to do it, which Gaethje has, then it becomes a very effective tool.
And so devastating standing up, you know? But that can go any either way, because I'm telling you, it's a matter of time before Khabib knocks somebody out in one of these high fights because they're so worried about the takedown.
Exactly.
And he's got heavy hands. He's got heavier hands than I think people think. So I think they're going to be so worried about that, he might end up knocking Justin out. That fight. I think it's going
to
be amazing.
Well, that would be, it's hard to knock Justin out, right? We've only seen it twice, and those were extraordinary, powerful guys in Alvarez and Poirier. But I would say the fifth round, Khabib got outboxed by your guy, Ally Quinter, right?
Which that was the fourth round, was it?
No, I thought it was the last round, maybe.
It might have been the last round, dude.
When you took the fight on
Al, still did. Al still might have had the best performance with him. I mean, Styles do make fights, and Al is good at scrambling. That's the thing. So that makes that more. Going back to Gaethje, that does make that more exciting because they do have that in common. Al's a pretty good wrestler. You know what I mean? And Gaethje's obviously got, you know.
In all of Gaethje's fights, I've never seen him accept bottom position.
No, me neither. That's what I'm saying. No one's been able to hold him down. And again, like you said, style make fights. Dustin Poirier, who's, again, how many fight of the nights does he have and how many bonuses? But when you look at that, very rarely is it versus a wrestler. I mean, you've seen him. I mean, just some of the guys you just named. Eddie Alvarez, who sometimes mixes in some takedowns. Who else did we just say? Eddie Alvarez. It was Max Holloway. I mean, all guys that are standing, striking. That's when he shines, man.
The thing is that it's not that Poirier can't wrestle. He can. You think about the gym he comes from. I remember wrestling with him years ago, and I was like, oh, this kid can wrestle. You should do that in fights. But, you know, it's just that when you knock people out, that's going to be your preferred method.
Is there a date for – and there's another question we had, too. The Ultimate Fighter, Costa against Israel, that is happening?
I mean, I've heard what you've heard on social media. I'll go on this computer right now, and you should have asked me ahead of time. I'll go in. I got access. I'll go in and see if they've posted.
No, but sometimes you ask a question away that makes it look like you know what's happening. You'll trick the person into answering. Jim knows.
No,
yeah,
I know. I just have no idea. If you should ask me ahead of time to look, they probably wouldn't put that in there though.
Oh, okay. Now, if it were to happen, when do you think a Costa Adesanya fight would be looked towards? A rough guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, is that one they would wait till there was a live crowd for? I don't know. Here's what I know.
Maybe that's a good question.
I follow Paulo Costa. I follow him on social. And he needs some time to lose some of that muscle. He's giant right now. He's like 220 ripped. Like, bro, you fight at 85. That's great. You're perfect for 205. But what are you doing? You're huge. Are you guys follow his little videos and stuff?
No, I've not.
Cranking the bags and say, imagine this being, you know. He was like, I imagine these are Adesanya's ribs. And I was like, imagine you're 20 pounds lighter doing that, though, bro. You're huge right now. Weight class is for a reason.
Yeah.
Are you going to Fight Island or no?
I'm not. I don't do PT or nutrition, so there's no point in me being there. I'm not a dietitian, unfortunately.
Do you want to go, though? Would you like to go just to hang for a week and see it?
No, I mean, if there was work to be done, I would love to do it, but I have tons of stuff to do here, so I can use it. We've had five fight weeks in a row, so we're just behind on like what we're meant to be doing. And now, you know, we got to kind of pick it up here in town because we're going to have seven fight weeks in a row, double fight weeks with the contender. And I mean, it is awesome, but it's a lot. I tell you what though, watching all these fights each week has really kept me in the mindset of kind of like what we were talking about, just strategic thinking, how the game has changed. What are undervalued target areas, you know, just because you're watching fights every weekend now, it feels like. So, yeah.
What did you think of – I was impressed with Perry, because, you know, Mickey's so strong.
Have you noticed that I just disagree with everything you say? Whatever you say, I play the opposite.
Do it. Play the opposite with Jimmy.
I don't know why. It's nature. I need to change. I need to do some work on myself and change that. But here's the deal.
Devil's advocate. Do it.
I can't help it. I can't. I wish I could control myself.
No, but it's sure. It's okay.
I was actually less impressed with Perry and a little surprised that what's his name?
Mickey Gall.
He was winning the first round with striking. All he had to do was keep. Am I wrong?
No, his stand-up was much better than people expected it to be.
All he had to do was keep moving, touch, move, touch, move. You don't try to get in a war. And I felt like in the first round, Perry looked bad because he was loading all his punches, like from here and here, swinging like that. You know, I thought he looked bad. I thought he looked like a guy that hadn't sparred. You know, and one of the announcers pointed that out. I was like, I was not impressed. The second round and the third round, he got it together. And what he actually did was he out-wrestled and out-jujitsued and out-struck on the ground.
Well, that's what I was talking about. That's actually what I meant. The black belt now, I think. Mickey's a black belt. That's what I was talking about was I was impressed with him dealing with Mickey on the ground because everyone thought if it went down to the ground, that was going to be it.
Well, that's another important thing about MMA. You know, there's only about 18% of all fights finished through submission. I think 17. The other thing is the ground is not the ground anymore in MMA. The ground is it top position or bottom position? And bottom position on the ground, unless you are an absolute stud specialist, is not a great thing to have. You're not getting that many triangles, that many arm bars. You're not getting that many submissions off the ground. What you're getting is gigantic elbows. And there's the old saying, I'm sure you've heard it, you know, you elbow a guy like that, black belt becomes a brown belt and so on, right? And that's kind of what I saw. I was like, oh, my God, why did Perry even go to mount? I would stay half guard, you know, but I'm boring. I would stay half guard and keep chopping and keep working. But not Perry. He went to mount, got his big elbow, lost the position, but he didn't care. He just wanted that big fight finishing elbow. Bless him.
He was smart on that. Well, his fight IQ, I was impressed with – hearing him talk afterwards, he's no dummy. I mean, he's got to get his taxes straight and stuff like that.
He's no dummy. Hey, you say he's no dummy. You could have fooled my wife. My wife was like, I liked him until he started talking.
No, he's just.
Why is he still talking?
He's and a lot
my
of
wife was like, why does the job cut him off? Why doesn't he say?
No, I thought it was, first of all, that's why people love him because he's they, a they, lot of people, a lot love. Of.
That's what I'm trying to
a
say.
Lot of a lot of athletes, and you know, listen, he's like a street kid, like, you know, he's like, yo, they give me this. It's funny. It's like he didn't know about like paying the taxes or how much they took.
Yeah.
So that's happened. Listen, Forrest, you've seen a lot of celebrity, you know, like whatever it be from
here's celebrities the thing, man.
Get in trouble with that. Professional athletes. Go ahead.
I couldn't agree more. Look, UFC fighters are independent contractors, which means that money hasn't been taken out yet. Every job I had, like when I worked for the city, I got my money. It was my money. I'd already paid taxes on it. So you forget, like when you're an independent contractor, oh, this is a W. Or this is a 1099, not a W-2. No taxes have been taken out of this.
Yeah.
Like, I still owe 40% on this money.
Yeah you have to pay.
You know, you forget. Because other job, you work at Taco Bell, you get your check, that's your check.
Yeah.
Seriously.
No, so, I mean, so people get in trouble with that. He's not the first one, but he's so honest. It's hysterical. Well, yo, they give me this money. They don't expect.
Who is it? Who is it? The time you saw, the very few times you see Danny get scared, he got scared for Nick Diaz when Nick Diaz started talking about not paying his taxes. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
He was like, look, I've had the Irish Bible, the Accuser after me, Danny said this. But the IRS scares me more than that.
That's hysterical. But I think it was funny, man, how he's just. He gets a check for whatever. He'll just spend it. Next thing you know, they're looking for taxes. So I think that is a lesson to be learned. But when you did hear him talk about the fight, he knew he knew not to let Mickey on top because as a black belt, it'd be hard to catch up, gain that ground once the guy's got it. He knew he wanted to be on top. And I don't know, from the beginning bell, he conquered the center of the cage. He was stalking him. He had to get the timing down a little bit. But, man, did he handle business. And it shows he's grown as a fighter. He's not just going out there like a fucking caveman where Mickey could just shoot underneath and get a double. You know, he fought off the takedown when he needed to. He did not accept it at all. And then, when he did get on top, he wasn't just holding him. He was
impressed. Oh, that's what impressed me. His top pressure, those were legit shots. He took risks, you know. It reminded me of a little Pride guys. When guys would get out of mount to try and hit another guy or stomp on their head, I was like, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
I got a different mentality, if I'm being honest. I'm a wuss. I'm trying to hold that mount. You get under me, you're going to finish the round there. I might not devastate you, but you know, it's a different mentality. And it's more fun to watch, you know, a guy like Mike Perry's mentality than mine.
When he mounted, he does that elbow from Guan. He just arches up and puts everything. Now, that guy, he is a savage. And I like him a little pissed off. Everybody's rooting against him. He's angry at everybody. It's working for him. She has his girlfriend in the corner. It's hysterical.
She was holding. She was here holding mitts for him.
Yes.
I was like, hey, what's up? You know, we're friendly. We're cordial. I was like, hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, listen, man. It's where he shoved it up everybody's ass, though. He really did. People out there are firing at corner men right now.
That's the joke. But hey, about that, can you think of any fights? And this is kind of another thing, you know, how much information do you try to give a guy in that 50 seconds, realistically? Now, I realize it depends a lot on the history you have with them, right? So, like, when Mike Powell cornered me, he might tell me four things, but there was a history to all those things. And then he would always finish and repeat last the most important thing. I remember him telling me he would do that. But how do you do it?
Well, with me and Longo, it usually works like this. It depends on how that round's going. Like, let's say if it was a ground that, man, this guy's got – Aljo's got the guy against the cage, he's not getting him down. Or Aljo had somebody on the floor and he didn't do something. And I'm going to make sure, look, man, I point out a certain things that happen in that realm, in the grappling realm. If it's standing up, Longo's got it. You know what I mean? So I usually let Longo speak first, unless something was fresh in my head where something happened on the floor. And I'm like, look, do not let this happen again. So we take it fight to fight. It's not a specific thing. We don't have any fucking code words. I'm not shitting on people that do, but
no.
We take it as it comes, man. And
that's another, the apex, and Fight Island, code words actually become more important when that volume isn't there because you can hear the other corner go low, high, low. Whereas usually, even if they say it, it's hard for you to pick that up in the noise of the crowd. Whereas I can hear my corner because I'm used to him coaching me, right? So I've kind of got a dialed in ear for his voice. Or her voice, but like when it's just out there, and it's like when Dustin replied to Bisping and said, "Hey, listen to Bisping, don't poke the eyes or whatever." You know, it's like it's so weird.
It freaks me out a little bit.
But here's the other thing on that: when somebody, because you saw the same thing out of Tim Elliott, like addressing the crowd in the middle of the fight or lack of. You're either really in the zone and it's flowing so easily that you're like picking up everything. Or you're totally out of the zone. When you can, you know, either you're like you're hearing it and you're distracted by that sound, or you're so like in that flow state in the zone that you hear that, you take that in, that's cool. Like I'm gonna throw this, you know. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying, and me and you relate to it probably better than anybody because we fought in tough. And I remember I was on top of Shoney Carter and Drago was yelling something to me. I'm like, I got him. And I'm answering him back. The guys are laughing and shit.
Stop saying that. Like, stop telling him what I'm going to do. Yes, I was going to do that. But then when you said that, he moved his arm. And now I can't do that. Shut up.
Didn't Mike Perry say that he figured out? He said, round three, I figured out some of what his codes.
Yeah, I believe that, too. Yeah. So, again, back to him being having a very high fight IQ, I totally agree with that. And what he said going into it, I'm going to listen to his corner. Yeah.
Now, I'd say, listen, he said, he said he was caught on to them saying razor, and that was something with the elbow. And that kind of makes sense.
Sure.
Yeah.
Razors. I'm going to come up with some stupid-ass names just to throw everybody off.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know.
Give him a turnip.
My favorite code word guy was Mark Lehman, and he would just call out a fighter's name. And it was a technique that they had done in a fight. It could have been 5 years back, but then he said, hey, did you see this? And then we would just call it that. And
Mark Lehman. What a fucking genius that guy is. He's almost as smart as your other buddy, Frank Trigg. Forrest, there's a reason why me and you don't hang out. We hang out with cool guys like Jimmy and fucking Udana. And you fucking hang out with Frank Trigg and fucking Mark Lamez.
You not like Frank Trigg?
Look, I stole it from him. We were watching the fight together, and then we would take it into the week. Hey, it's okay. Look, You don't work for the UFC. I work for the UFC. I have to be cool with everybody.
I do. You fuck with it. You think I'm doing this thing from my basement? This is the UFC official. Well, doing it from my bedroom. It's the UFC official. Is this the Bellator podcast? It's the UFC official podcast. Look,
all right. Let me amend that statement.
I got legs with this company, fucker.
You get paid to entertain people. And to entertain people, you have to say stuff. You know, you have to say stuff like that. But where I am, I can't say anything. I got to be smooth with everybody. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, forgive me. Yeah, you're always attacking me, though.
No, he's disagreeing with me attacking you.
I thought that was banter. I thought we were like...
It is. Forrest, I can't get mad.
I thought we were cool with that.
We're very cool. I can't get mad at you. You're so unlikable, Forrest. That's why you got legs in this company.
That's right. Everybody loves Forrest.
Hey, what are you doing? Tell us about this... The award. Good, what is it again? The
Forrest Griffin Community Award.
Yes! Oh,
which was given to Dustin Poirier.
Yeah.
Tell us
How that. Cool is that? I don't know if you guys saw the first thing that motivated Dustin to do that. You know, about the kid whose dying wish was a playground he could play on. And even though he never got to play on it, he got a playground for, you know, handicapped and disabled children, came out of it. Dude, I have known Dustin. I've had the good fortune of knowing that man since he was 20. And the story I tell about him is we were out having sushi after he'd won a fight in the WC. This one he's fighting at 45. And me and Tim Crater are shoving our fat faces with all-you-can-eat sushi. And this is after Dustin's fight. He has one plate of sashimi, calls it a day. And I'm like, sushi flying away. It's all you can eat, bro. What are you doing? And he's like, yeah, I got to keep my weight down. You know, I might have to go again. Yada. And that's when it dawned on me, 20 years old, this kid's a professional. Holy Christmas. You know what I'm saying? I was really like, I was like, wow. You know, I was taken aback by that. And, you know, I'm famous for, like, I'll go out, but I'm Mr. Irish goodbye. You're like, hey, wasn't Forrest here? Oh, he gone. You know, I got no use at the bottom. You know, I'd rather be at home eating junk food, watching Netflix. But he's the same way, too. Like, we'll go out. He's gone before I am. I'm like, oh, yeah, because he's getting a good night's sleep so we can get that workout in tomorrow, you know? He's always been that way. He's just always been good people. So for him to get the award and start the foundation and do everything he's done is so cool to get to be a part of that, you know? And now I'm more motivated to try and help and do more, right? So, and I think that's the idea. It's not just, hey, you know, I got my name on an award. It's like, all right, I got my name on the award. I better damn do something, you know? I better help. I better help other fighters, you know, help their charities, right? So there's a lot of fighters with a lot of cool things that want to help people. And that's something that, you know, I need to kind of leverage the UFC's resources to do.
Man, Jimmy, we got Jimmy, all this talk about charities and doing,
I know,
it just makes me and you feel like two pieces of shit.
Selfish asses. Selfish
idiots we are.
Two asses we are.
Forrest Griffin, you know, guys, hey, building parks,
Matt,
and shit.
You still coach.
Yes.
And I'm gonna guess what you get paid. It's like partial charity work. You know, if you think about the way coaching works in MMA, it's a little bit of charity. You're doing good for people.
I mean, I have no contract with my guys. They throw us whatever they want to throw us, and they're, and I'm happy for whatever they give because they're great guys. I just want them to succeed. That's no charity. I love my guys, and I'm so happy for them lately. From Marab to Aljo, you know.
Oh, Marab looked good, man. Looked good, and the dude Marab was fighting was game. You know,
he
was game. I was proud of him. I was like, took the fight. Obviously, you're not in the best of shape.
Yeah,
but
and Marab
still scrambled hard. Still went for that guillotine. Yeah. He ended up bringing, I think, a better fight out of Marab. He really made Marab work.
And people should know that Marab took that fight without a camp also, man. He was out there helping Aljo. He took that fight also. And it just shows you the guy's always in amazing shape.
Yeah.
Such a talent.
Again, like we were talking about with Dustin, you know, some people are professionals. They're like, hey, 52-week fight camp. That's something the PI SNC guys always say. Is like, what are you doing? Like, how are you not training? You're a professional athlete. What do you mean you're not training this week? That's crazy talk. Should always be doing something.
Got that, Jimmy?
Yeah.
You don't have to be a professional athlete to train.
I know. I started.
He did. He's
COVID struck. What can I do? COVID came.
And how are all the academies in Vegas doing? Everybody's still just shut down and
No. They're
back.
Vegas, man. They're open.
So,
I'm terrified. I I see pictures of the gyms with like 23rd people on the mats. I'm like, oh boy, we'll see what happens.
No, good, good. It should be like that. Fuck that. Yeah. They gotta allow me to do my business too out here in New York, Forrest, or else you'll be getting a little helper over there.
That's right. That's right.
Me and you every day, seeing what's going on.
It would be great. It would be great. Neither of us with any computer skills, ability to like keep scheduling. Like,
yes.
Awful. You know, it's like the monkeys and whatever.
It's in the computer. We'll be banging.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Oh, Forrest.
Well, Forrest, we love having you on. You know that. anytime, man. We'd love to have you.
Hey, anytime. No, I had a lot to say today, apparently. I don't know. Maybe I just had too much caffeine.
That's good. It beats having nothing to say. A lot to say beats having nothing.
Hey, and Forrest is a coffee guy. He made me a delicious coffee at his place.
Yeah.
And then I almost shit myself in his
house.
So
good you pooped.
I don't know if you remember that. I did. Jimmy. What? Because he gave me a fucking veggie drink, and then he gives me an espresso, and I almost shit myself.
Of course you did.
I started dying laughing. He goes, what is happening? I go, sorry, Forrest. I shit myself.
Yeah.
But as far as that must have been, that was a long time ago.
Hey.
I was doing good insider.
Good coffee has that effect on the bowels. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
It was delicious.
Where you got a stiff leg. Yeah. That's where you gotta walk with your legs totally straight. Yeah.
Next time I'm in Vegas, Forrest, listen, don't worry about it. I remember where you live. I'll pop over. We'll have a coffee.
Same place. Same place.
Listen, you don't got to invite me twice or once. I'll still end up there.
I'm just pointing out that I don't even bother to change things. I live in the same place. I got my TV's like 10 years old. My vacuum's taped together. I just don't care. I'm just like, people are like, Forrest, you're really cheap. I'm like, I am really cheap. And I'm also really lazy.
Hey, Forrest, man, I hit a car the other day. I told Jimmy about it. And my insurance, you know, was going to take care of it. I have to fix it by my front. My bumper's fucked up. I just never did it. I never called back my insurance. So my car's all fucked up. I'm with you, Forrest. Forrest, we're more alike. That's why me and you have a little friendly banter back. We're more alike than you think.
Exact same thing happened to me. Somebody backed against my car and I'm like, it doesn't affect how it drives.
Dude, I'm the same way. I don't give a shit.
It's not something that's going to get worse. The quarter panel fender's blue and dented. Whatever.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not going to be at any car shows anytime soon.
Before I let you go.
I'm not picking up any hot dates.
What are you watching? What are you watching on Netflix? You said you watch a lot. You watch Netflix with that home.
I just started that Perry Mason thing.
Perry Mason? The fuck is that? That's from...
It's on HBO.
Perry, right. Is it really Perry Mason?
Yeah. No, I brought it back. It's all right. A lot of good actors.
Is that old?
Whatever.
That's gotta be old, though.
Yeah. It's worth a look.
What's it called?
I'm trying to get into that show, Dark. The first season was amazing.
What is Dark? What's it about? I saw that.
So it's a crazy German show with a crazy theme. The first season is so weird. It feels like it's not going anywhere. But then it's one of those where the last episode or so, it could have been a horrible waste of my time or it could have been an amazing experience. It ended up being an amazing experience. What I'm saying is it's got like eight things, but it brings it together. And then I've never finished the second season, so I'll get back on that one.
Dark.
You got to like think a little bit, yeah.
I don't like when the mouths, they don't match up with the... It bothers me.
So I like watching stuff like that with the things. Because then I can say I read today.
There you go.
You like the subtitles.
There's a subtitle. Oh, I did some reading today. I read for an hour before bed.
I'm gonna skip that. I don't know, that's too much reading for me. Forrest, man, thanks, bro.
Yeah, good talking to you, man.
Always, man. Always.
Hope to see you soon,
man.
I'm gonna
go to Hair Club and get that haircut.
All right, good talking to you, buddy.
Later, Forrest Griffin.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Jimmy, let's go over our picks really quick, huh?
Okay, buddy.
I believe I could fly. All right, let me see.
Yeah, you definitely.
Jimmy, you know what I got to do today? I got to go get the mats out of my one academy, and I'm going to mat my basement.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
Yeah,
good, buddy.
Put them to good work. Put them to good use. Let's go over. So, man, I was impressed with Mike Perry. Yeah. And I think Mickey Gall's showing improvements all the time, man. He's in
His stand-up is very good. Perry was just a little too big and strong. Mm. And so, look, we both got that one wrong. Plus, we're friendly with Mickey. Like, I like Mickey. I know him. So it's always harder to pick against the guy that you know. And Mickey looked great, but Perry just, I thought, felt a really smart.
The Maurice Greene versus Gian Vellante killed.
Yeah, that was a rough one. Of course, I was watching you. I thought of you when I was watching that.
It's weird. It's a weird one, man. It's really strange. Because that fight was, he was winning, you know. He was fat. Vellante was fat. Listen, I love Vellante. And
he looked heavy, yeah.
He looked heavy. You know what it was?
He moved up to heavyweight, though, right?
There's moving up to heavyweight, and then there's, you know, having just a big belly. You know what I mean? And you could take it from a guy. He's my buddy. I love him. I fucking love you. I love Vellante. And he'll be the first one to tell you. But that arm triangle was probably more him tired than anything.
Exhaustion, yeah. And they said he has asthma, right? So it looked like he was just exhausted. But I was really, I can't remember a time ever watching a fight just going, finish it. Like, because he was on top pounding.
If he won that last round, he probably would have won. Because he knows how to fight. I mean, he was doing excellent with the leg kicks. He was coming close with that overhand, and he was in that. That was good. If he would have won that third round, it was his fight. So it's one of those annoying, you know, heartbreakers where it's like, ah, oh, come on, man. But you know, you got to put the training in to deserve to win, and that's all I was. And I love the guy, but that's what you want. If you want to be in there to win, you got to show it, man. I love the guy. I'm not attacking him. I love him.
No. I understand.
It upsets me because I know he's
better than
and him. It's a fight that he could have won. So it kind of bothers me.
We both got that one wrong. We both got Perry wrong. So we're both 0-2. Now, Brendan Allen against Kyle Daukaus. Obviously, you picked Allen by decision. I picked Allen by decision. We both got that one correct.
Yeah. It was good. Good.
Yeah.
Nice fight. I enjoyed it. I want to see them both back again. You know, I think Brendan's endurance was holding up in that one, and that might have made a difference. I don't know. He had a good pace, you know. I want to see what's next by both of these guys. I want to see Kyle back also. You know what I'm saying? That was competitive. Really quick, Sato. That was pretty impressive.
Oh my God! Yeah. You know, yes, it was.
We didn't have a pick with this one because they moved it up.
No, they moved it up. Yeah.
You know. But I think Sato was very impressed by Sato. You know, I want to see what's next by him, Jimmy. What else do we got?
We had Julian Arosa, of course, over Sean Woodson. You picked Woodson by first round TKO. I said Arosa by decision. Arosa won by a third round submissive. He won by a Darce choke. Now, the main event. Before we wrap this up, I want to say I was talking to the guys. I thought I picked Poirier. Like, at first I said Hooker. But then do you remember when I said, I can't go against Poirier because he just always wins. He's too fucking good.
This is the thing. I picked Poirier.
Yeah.
You said Hooker, then you said I can't pick against him. But then you didn't say anything after that.
Yeah, I meant to pick Poirier. I'll take the hit on it, but I meant to pick because when I was watching, I thought I had picked Poirier. I really did.
Jimmy,
my intention was to pick
to
him. Yes.
You handle this any way you want to handle this. I'm not going to say that you're flipping when you said the other. Of course, if you watch back the clip, you first said him, and then you I'm basically saying you're right. You did say, oh, I can't. I just can't pick against him. And then you're like, oh, man. And then the clip goes off. So I blame off our producers for not letting you make a solid pick, for not getting it out of you.
Yeah, because I remember, and I would never flip-flop if I was wrong. I mean, I'll just take the loss there. But I remember, even when I watched the fight, I was like, yeah, Poirier. I mean, and I remember thinking Hooker at first, but then I'm like, I just can't. Poirier is too experienced. And I was like, it just didn't feel right to, you know, Poirier really, I mean, again, he lost to Habib, but coming off a loss like that, I just didn't, a 9-month layoff. So I thought I picked Poirier, but you know, not that we're keeping – it doesn't really matter.
Jimmy,
but I meant to pick him.
All right, listen, Jimmy, yes. I miss you already. What do we got? Give me all you got.
I would say that we'll see what happens Wednesday, and we'll preview the fights. We have fights this weekend, right? No, first week. That's right. Okay.
First week without. Well, there's plenty of shit to talk about, you know. And I enjoyed the fights. And Dustin Poirier is just a stud, man. I mean,
yeah.
Who the hell? I mean, I'll tell you right now, another fight bonus, whatever it is, fight of the night. I'm sure it's not the last, Jimmy.
Absolutely not.
Jimmy, awesome, man. Did we close the show yet?
No, let's do it right now.
Let's do it right now. I'm Matt. Oh, wait, wait. How are we going to do the ending? I thought you were going to say
just like that. Perfect.
Ready? I'm going to say I'm Matt. You're going to say I'm Jim. And we're going to say, and this was UFC Unfiltered. Ready?
Yep. Yep.
I'm Matt.
I'm Jim.
And this
was an awful idea.
I love you, Jimmy. I'll talk to you soon.
Pal. See you in a few days.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.